Okay, so I like to start with why I actually like the person I'm having them on. So you, in my eyes, are like family oriented, you're relationship minded in business, you're wildly smart in business.
Thank you.
You've built a successful coaching business, you then went off to sell it, and then you started a new coaching business. So respect you as a human and then also in the business aspect, which is important to me. So I'm glad to have you on today. Thank you for coming.
Thank you. Absolutely. Yes. I'm honored to be here. I love that. Let's do it. Yeah.
Yeah. So of course, like entrepreneurs are very direct and to the point, and maybe that's just me, but like if someone wants to start a coaching business, what's your immediate go-to step that they could take to start making money immediately?
Yeah. Should we dive right in?
Yeah, always.
Let's do it. I love it. So yeah, bam. So what should you do if you're a coach? Okay, here's the best thing. Start with personal experience. This is the most important thing. If you want to, I've had the great honor of coaching. And first of all, before we even say this, let me just say, I am a huge fan, Kate. So thank you for having me on. I really mean that. I've never gone into so many rooms where literally every single person, when your name comes up, is just prefaced with, she's the best, she's the greatest, I so appreciate her, everything she does is so phenomenal to be here. Thank you.
Thank you.
Starting a coaching business is, you got to start with personal experience. What have you done? You were in pain, you had a problem, you had a hope, a dream, a goal. You either found or created, by putting different things together, some sort of a solution or remedy or product or steps to take to get out of that pain. And you were one way, you found something that helped, and now you're a new way. And I think that that is essentially, I don't think, I know, and I can say that I believe I have the authority and expertise to say that that is, if there is a secret to coaching, is that's it. All of the greatest coaches, course creators, community leaders, consultants, all of the men and women of consequence who I coach and I get to be a part of their business or involved somehow or on their journey, even in a small way, there are commonalities that run amongst these men and women. One of those things is authenticity, not because they're good people, right? Not because it's the right thing to do. It's just because that's where they have the most confidence. That's where they have convictions, and they're not vanilla. They're rocky road or they're mint chocolate chip, right? They know, I can tell you right now, when you start, don't use paid ads. I will tell you right now, when you start, use paid ads, right? This is Robert Kiyosaki and Dave Ramsey, right? Robert Kiyosaki is, if you don't use debt, right? The government wants you to be in debt. They'll reward you for being in debt. There's less risk in debt. If you don't use debt, you're an idiot and you're going to pay too much taxes. Dave Ramsey is, get out of debt, idiot. If you're in debt, you're an idiot. Debt is dark. Debt is evil. Debt is bad. Look what the Bible says about debt. The whole point here is they have those personal convictions, because if you look at their history, Dave Ramsey went through a bankruptcy or whatever, or was very broken. He decided getting out of debt was his way, and he kind of cobbled that together. Robert Kiyosaki was the exact same way, right? He 7,000 doors and right, all of that. So I think that if you're going to become a coach, the first thing is personal experience. And the second thing is you have to be a coach. I don't know if you can learn how to be a coach. I think that coaches are first born before they're made. Most people.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So wait, the first part's easy, right? You have to have some proven success in something so you can go on and then teach others how it worked for you, right? That makes sense to me logically. What do you mean you can't learn to be a coach?
I believe that from what I've seen, coaches are just coaches through and through. They can't help it. When they were kids, their parents and grandparents would call them a good Sam or a mensch. They would say, stop giving away all your toys, stop oversharing. The coaches are just in the camp of, or I would say non-coaches are scarcity. They are in the camp of more for you means less for me, right? They eat with their-
So abundant mindset is one characteristic of a coach. Got it.
Certainly. And then just they learn how to share early, and they understand that more for you means more for me, that a rising tide lifts all ships. And they practice it in everything that they do. They find something new and they want to, you know, like that Tommy boy, right? Where he gets a new pet and he just wants the pet and everybody's got to see it. That's how they are. They have contagious enthusiasm about this new thing. They were in pain. They found the carnivore diet or some variation. And now they're like, Kate, you don't understand. If you have an ulcer, if you have fatigue, and they just can't, and they become they become evangelical about what they do. Other people who are not coaches tend not to do that. They tend to keep it to themselves. They keep it quiet. They see vulnerability and risk in sharing. So that I think is something that you have to look for. If that's not naturally you, you might struggle as a coach.
Okay, so authenticity and proven success in something else.
Yes.
Is your go-to for becoming, your prerequisite for becoming a successful coach. And then what is, someone comes to you, they have those two things, in your opinion anyway, what is the number one thing that you tell them to go do to make their first sale?
Yeah, I mean, let's get into it, right? So here's the deal. Here is the deal. So first of all, the first thing that I tell them to do, there are, as you know, there's 88 rules in business and we go through them all the time, right? And I love them. They're very near and dear to my heart because they all came through very expensive or amazing mentors and trial and error and A-B split testing either for myself personally or with my clients, and taken over a decade to put together. And they're amazing. So the first rule of the 88 rules is revenue in first position. And what I would say is, if you're a coach, you're not a coach until someone pays you. And this is something that Robert teaches us, right? Robert Kiyosaki teaches us that a customer is someone who pays you. One of the rules in business is rule number 5, right? Only take feedback from 5 people: the people who love you, pay you, you pay, regulate your industry, and are where you want to be. So in the vein of the people who pay you, those are customers, and that's revenue in first position. If you are going to be a coach, you do not need anything. Do not practice the BS method of I'm going to build it and then try to sell it. Instead, realize that everything you need to use your talents to work with God's other children to bring them out of the same pain or to the same destination is already in between your 2 ears. You don't need to go film a course or modules or a framework or nothing. So what I would say is stop designing your silly logo that nobody cares about except for you. Stop picking out brand colors. Stop listening to modules and podcasts and training. Get out of a season of preparation and get into a season of massive imperfect action. Adopt an attitude of progress, not perfection. Everyone listening has heard this 1,000 times and it's just like washing over their, they've heard it. But there are some men and women of consequence who will hear this finally, maybe for the first time. You are ready now, right? Just like in that movie Ender's Game, when the psychiatrist comes in for the soldier and she says, he's not ready. And the general said, we're never ready. We go when we're ready enough. Well, maybe this is your podcast to listen and say, I'm in a season now where I'm ready enough, right? Just like Ecclesiastes says, right? If you wait and watch the clouds, you're never going to plant and you're never going to harvest. So start today. You can pause this podcast right now and you can go and put out an offer. If you don't know how to make an offer, go to $100 Million Offers, Alex Hormozi, on page 26 of that book. There's the Grand Slam offer. If you still don't know how, Joel Irway wrote a book and he talks about what's called a power offer, right? If I can show you how to, lose 10 pounds in 2 days without going on a diet or working out, would you take me up on that offer, right? Whatever. So make an offer, make sales, and that's how you become a coach. You've got to put revenue in first position. Revenue and happy clients solves 98% of every single problem you're going to have in a coaching business. So i.e., don't start building a funnel or a website. Go make sales.
So Tom, I think that you're like a monopoly in minority in people that say, don't go build a course first, right? Like you are literally like, let's just go talk to people. And this took me a couple of months of hearing you, right, to understand. You say go talk to people, go sell your offer first, then figure out the back end of how you're going to fulfill it or whatever later. Nobody talks about that.
Right.
Why? Well,
Here's why. Because most people walk around pointed in towards themselves. One thing that you will learn in business, and Byron Katie teaches us this, is that the men and women who have the most personal preferences of how things should be are the people who suffer the most. This is true in life. This is true in business, right? People who have a lot of personal preferences will bring on, will attract mountains of suffering. What you want to do is move into a season from chasing and convincing into a season of attracting and rejecting. And the way that you do that is by first serving other people. It is only in the service of others, of coaching others, will your course will be developed properly. Right now, if you have experience in something, you are a 10. And Donald Miller teaches us for a 10 to get pushed down, you can get pushed down to like a 6, but you're going to go right back to a 10. The perspective of your course is way off. If you go and sell, we recommend 3 to 7 people, right? If you, in the mastermind, it's 3 to 7 people. If you have their questions, their frustrations, and their feedback, building those modules, I guarantee a better course because it is student-led. It's from their perspective of what they don't understand and what they're struggling with. So not only is it logistically opposite, it goes against every – for you to develop a course and then try to sell it before you have clients is literally like the most ridiculous time waste. You're going to have to redo the whole course anyway. So instead of having fancy modules, what I would suggest that you do is you go out, you fill everything with revenue, get a whole bunch of people to serve, and then serve them. And in their questions, they'll give you the course. You can record the modules live. You don't need to build anything. It's already in your own mind. The only thing you could start with is like an outline of what it is that you coach. So start with the end destination of I help people, you know, single moms with kids in a job, how to work from home part-time to make an extra $3,000 a month. Great. How are you going to do that? And then let their question have a general outline and then start coaching people. That's the way to do it.
So you think people that want to build something out first is really, it's all internal facing. They want to like prove themselves that they have enough value to serve and sell other people versus the opposite?
Well, I think they're putting the value in the wrong thing. The value of the course is not the course. It is the proximity and frequency of interactions with you, the host. There's nothing that, Kate, I can teach you that you can't learn on YouTube or in ChatGPT for free in 5 minutes, right? There's nothing I could share with you. It's all available. What we're giving people as a coach is, number one, clarity of one set of instructions. Number two, the permission to take actions. And number three, the confidence to take uncomfortable actions, right? With confidence. Like, hey, here's what to expect. Here's exactly how to do it. So it's not so much the information. If you look at the equation of a successful client in a coaching program, what you will see is that the equation is my instruction plus their massive and perfect action will equal a result, will equal their education. What a lot of amateur coaches do is they take the education part and they put it to the front. Like, and that's the problem. The education does not come from the coach. The education is the obligation of the student from the results that they get implementing the instruction. They need the permission to take that action. They need the confidence and clarity to take it and the motivation. That's how it gets done.
And then you find out the statistics. So this makes sense, right? People come to you for clarity and power and confidence to you as the host, not your course. And then that relates to the statistics of how many people actually watch the course, which is like, what, less than 30% or something?
So there's different numbers on this, but my own experience has been to watch the complete course is certainly under 5%, but it's really closer to 3%. So
worse than I thought.
Yeah. That's people who watch the entire course from first module to last. That floats around 3% in different people, depending on the length and size and of the course and how many people there, that can change. But, and then there's the people who watch any of the course. There are people who come into a program and they never even use the login to get into the course. So I think that the answer is very low and we put so much emphasis on it. The heavy lifting is really done in the community, on the support calls, and then in the first few modules of the course, which is really, hey, Kate, you're good enough. You're strong enough. Here's what to do. Go and do it. And when you get a result, you know, come back. And if you're not doing it, let's get to why you're not doing it. Because if you're not taking the action, if your clients are not taking action on your instructions, what that means is they either doubt you as the coach. They're like, I don't want to do this. Kate always tries to sell me. Every time I'm on the phone, it's just more for sale, more for sale. Or they doubt the program. They're like, well, yeah, of course it works for Kate, right? You know, she's like so rich and she went to college and she's half my age and da-da-da-da. She's so outgoing and I'm an introvert and she's an extroverted, blah, 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 blah. So they have like doubt in the program, doubt in themselves, doubt in you. There's doubt. It's riddled with doubt. So what would be far superior to do is for the coach to figure out what is the doubt that is not, that's saying Johnny, Sally, and Bobby are not progressing forward. Why? Instead of how do we give them more modules of information? Information is not the problem. I can guarantee you can take that to the bank. That's not the problem.
How do you, so you're saying proximity is the most valuable thing. How do you put that into a value ladder perspective?
Well, what you do is, first of all, there's a lot of ways to unpack that question, right? It depends on how.
What's your favorite? Because you coach some of the most successful people in the country in our industry. So what do you see that works best?
Well, I think with proximity, right? So there's always, when you are coming up with your offer and your price, right? Because everyone, and I'll give a little secret on price. Guys, here's the secret with price. If you lower your price, you are not automatically going to sell more units. I promise you. It is just as difficult to sell something for $197 as it is to sell it for $85,000. Trust me, I know what I'm talking about. It's what it really has to do with is how much value you actually believe the person is getting, and is that price just a little bit less than the value? And when you hit that equation properly, right, that's when you have the right price. So
can you give me an example? Since we're on price, we'll just sideway for a minute.
So here's what I would say. If I all of a sudden get a phone call and I have to leave to move to Europe and I have to go out of, you know, I'm gone and I just bought a brand new Lambo, but I need to liquidate it. And I say, Kate, listen, I just paid $250 for this Lambo, but if you pay me all cash right now, you could have it for $125. I guarantee you're paying me $125. I guarantee it, right? Because you, even if you don't want it, you could borrow the money and resell it for $175. It's brand new, right?
So, for sure.
So it's always a question of value. And sometimes people will say, well, you know, because the phone call we always get is, I'm just doing this for the first time, so I'm going to start at $79. No, that's the wrong answer. It has to do with how much value they believe. If you focus on the value and you really believe that if someone is suffering, if they really need to get fit, lose weight, find the love of their life, find a business opportunity, flip their first real estate deal. If you really believe in your heart of hearts that you know how to do it and you can show them the way and they have the best, you can't guarantee success, but I can guarantee you that if you come with me, I'll give you your best chance of building a coaching business. You can charge more money because of that conviction, whether or not you have a course, modules, anything, it doesn't matter. So that's kind of pricing. And you always want your pricing to be a little bit less than the value that you're getting, and you will sell with confidence. And since we're on this, I will say, when you sell, stand up, shoulders back, chin up, smile, because it changes your voice. You should really do this, guys, right? And project your voice a little bit like we're in a lobby of a hotel that's busy and you're about 8 feet, right? So, hey, Kate, how's it going? Thanks for calling in. I'm going to politely interrupt you once in a while because I'm running the phone call, not you. That's how you do a sales call, right? Easy peasy, lemon squeezy.
So when you talk about these things, like the energy of and the positioning of your body and everything, you say it so low key, but like I literally study this stuff all the time. Where did you learn that, for example, how to stand up? Like, what does that actually do, logically speaking, to the brain and how you're coming across?
Oh, it changes everything. It changes everything. Like, so where did I learn it? So I learned it from, I don't know if I can give exact credit on that. I learned a lot of techniques from one of the greatest books ever written in, you know, I feel like there's a lot of books that are really, really good, right? Don't get me wrong. I love them. There's books like Chris Voss has a great book, right? I can't think of the name of it right now, but he's the negotiator for the hostage negotiator, right? And there are technical books that are very like, you know, you get into the psyche and there's a lot of, What I would say is I like Oren Claff's book. His book is Flip the Script, right? I like books that are there's an immediacy to the implementation. The instruction is simple. And what does Oren Claff teach? It's something I resonate with. It's just always be leaving. One foot out the door all the time.
You do love that.
Yeah. It works. It works, right?
It does.
I don't need a lot of technique.
You could teach dating, Tom, if you wanted to move on to your next offer next time. Like, that's something you could teach with that method.
Bam. I love it. But it's really true. It's like, it's just a simple way to say, hey, I'm not going to chase you, you know, X, Y, and Z. Anyway, I really like it. And,
I learned some of that stuff from Tony Robbins a long time ago, like business mastery or whatever, right? He teaches you how to like stand up and how you change your physiological state. And then that changes your energy, which return changes your outcome of what you're doing. So
yeah. And it's not woo woo. It works. Like it changes, you know, if you're sitting and your head is down, you know, your voice just sounds different. But when you smile, you're like, hey, Kate, how's it going? It's great. And, you know, NLP tricks, right? This is that's what the bell is. That's what the bam.
Oh, yeah.
Is. Just pattern interruption.
So speaking of Tony Robbins and the bell and pattern interruptions, he tells you sometimes when you go to his masterminds or his conferences, right? Like he makes you stand up every 15 or X amount of minutes. So you're changing your physiological state because you remember you're attaching emotion to it. So you remember at a higher level. So yeah, he teaches all of that too. If you pay attention, you can see it in your calls all the time. Like, I'm like, oh, Tom's ringing the bell because he wants us to, you know, pattern interrupt or whatever.
Well, it's all a breathing exercise, whether you're building a course, teaching a course, building a community. The best thing to do is get out of your head, get out of your heart, and go with your belly. Your belly always knows. The belly knows everything. Everything is gut, right? I can tell you, I've been doing this a long time. If you want to really dominate this business, and when I say dominate, I mean create businesses, you know, one business, multiple businesses that serve you instead of you serving them and creating a job. Operate from your belly. Your belly won't let you down. And the better you get at it, the more clairvoyant you will become or prophetic about who's doing what. What are they saying? What are they not saying? Right? Why are they saying it that way? Is this person speaking with me? Or are they asking me permission? Or are they selling me something? You know, what are they? You are able to look further out into the future when you move down into your belly. And what does that mean? It sounds like it's silly. What do you mean move in your belly? Just quiet yourself for a second and listen to what people are saying. If somebody's saying something like a principle, right? Revenue in first position. Okay, Tom, what does that mean, right? Always go operate from your belly. What do you want to look for? Number one, is that always true? I absolutely can tell you in business, you darn well better, right? Number two, is the inverse true? When somebody says something to you, something that you can do to quiet your mind and be thinking while they're speaking instead of waiting for your turn to speak is ask yourself this question. Is the inverse of what they're saying as true or truer than the principle? Can I think of people who prioritized website design, building a funnel, paying for paid ads, figuring out paid ads, building a webinar, preparing for a summit, picking out brand colors instead of prioritizing revenue, or they did some silly partnership all day long. So I know right in my belly that these are good principles or what you're saying is good, right? I can put it through this test because I'm going from my belly, from my gut. Like, yes, this makes sense. It lands in my stomach. I totally get it. I can feel it. And that's an important way to run your business that is congruent. You know, there's a saying like, don't put any energy or effort into anything that's not congruent with your vision, but you have to know what that is. And then you have to kind of navigate your way with how you feel about the information you're gathering and the choices you're making along the way, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I love it. So I have to tell you, I've told you this privately before, but a couple years ago when I first started consulting, I had nothing. I didn't even have my first website before I was hired by my first client. Man. And then, yeah. I had no idea what I was doing as far as this industry, but I knew exactly what I was teaching and delivering on. But as far as like building out a coaching company, I had no idea. And next thing I know, I'm, you know, consulting for a couple of different companies full time, which is amazing. Then I let those, I wanted to change my offer, right? And I started to get in my head, what you're saying is the opposite of what to do. And I was like, oh man, I want to switch my offer. I'm going to build out a course. I'm going to do all the things that you're told to do on social media.
Right.
Then I met you at a mastermind and I heard you speak to someone else. And I was like, this guy's an absolute genius. Who is he? I'm hiring him.
Awesome. Okay. Very cool. I remember that. Yes. It was in the lobby of the Grand Hyatt in Tampa. I remember.
Yeah. And so then I hired you and I stopped building out everything in the background and I just started to go sell again and instantly, right, revenue in your eyes was first position.
Yes.
And I put everything that I never used to do. I never used to build stuff out first. And I was just in my own head and thought that's what I needed to do. And it's absolutely not true.
Well, it's comfortable, right? It's very comfortable because you feel like you're working, even though you're not progressing, right? And
yeah.
One of the rules in business, right, is right whenever you're moving, right, be progressing, not moving in place. So never move in place, right? So it feels good to work on this stuff that is non-revenue, there's no doubt about it, right? If I said, hey, let's have a fun day, it would be like, hey guys, we're going to design a logo. The other thing from the people who charge money for it, I know it's crazy, but it's true.
Yeah.
People take their logo so seriously. It's like their baby. It's like, oh, you don't, the thing and the twists and the turns of the colors.
And no one cares because they just care about what they're getting back.
Nobody cares about your logo, guys. Yeah. You're not Coca-Cola. Relax, right? So, but the other thing too is the people who sell it, it's very interesting because it's much easier for me to sell you, hey, let's work on the hope of your business, on the promise of your business. Let's work on the promise of revenue. So what we're going to do is I want you to feel like you're moving forward. So, hey, Kate, let's work on all your positioning statements and let's work on, you know, this and that and, you know, who are you selling and all important stuff, right? All important stuff. So you feel good when you are building, you know, the website, and I can charge you easily to build the promise of a good website that will one day, someday, maybe make money, right? So everything feels really, really good. It's easy to sell. It's easy to buy. It's easy. It's palatable. It's easy to digest, right? And months and months and months and months will go by. There's no revenue, but
I was going to say until the end of the month and you look and there's no revenue. It's like, what are we doing?
That's the problem. I can tell you, you know, Joe McCall, who's a good buddy of mine, if your audience knows it, Joe McCall used to say, you know, we used to say that I used to tell him and we would repeat it back and forth to each other. You know, you show me, and this was when we were coaching real estate, we would say, you show me a CRM expert and I'll show you someone who hasn't done a real estate deal, right? Because they would, oh, fields, and I changed all the fields and my CRM makes a report and it's automated and no deals. No deals. Awesome CRM, no deals. So it's
I like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
So you talk a lot about attracting and chasing and price, and I hear you say this all the time as well, which I absolutely love. You're always encouraging people to increase their price on their next client.
Well, yeah, and well, here's the challenge, right? I will say this, I do that. The reason I do it is because 98% of the coaches, they don't understand pricing. So what they do is they underprice
themselves.
So significant. Yeah. And this is very, very, very problematic because it not just damages them, it damages their client. It builds resentment, right? Because and they mismanage clients. So what they do is they'll say, like, oh, Kate, like I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll give you all my time. You can call me Christmas morning, right, at 8 o'clock in the morning when the kids are opening presents. I'll be there. I'll pick up the phone. And I'm only going to charge you, like, I usually charge, you know, $25,000, but I'm only going to charge you $2,700, right? The problem is you feel good for a millisecond because you win Kate's business, right? And then you are like, this is the worst thing I've ever done, right? So, and this is what comes to mind with proximity, right? Closeness to you, right? How close are we physically, right? Or, you know, Tom, I have this thing. It's just courses, right? No support. Or Tom, I have this course and a phone call. Or Tom, I have a course and a Zoom call. Or, hey, I'm actually doing a two-person live event. Come to my city. Or, hey, we're doing this at a private like venue and it's just like 12 of us. Or, hey, I'm doing it at my house, at my mansion, right? It's always a question of proximity. So, and you know, what C.S. Lewis talks about, he teaches us with inner circles. And it's also frequency, right? So it's not once a month, it's once a week. It's not once a week, it's twice a week. It's not twice a week, it's this is problematic. So you have to raise your prices enough so that you don't have to compensate. And they don't even, here's what's so funny, your clients don't even want that. They want the at-home business, or they want to lose weight, or they want to flip their first real estate deal. They don't want, if Tony Robbins said, I'll help you get the result and it's going to be one phone call and it's 50,000, I'd be like, Tony, here's the 50,000. Thank you. I don't need a year with Tony Robbins. I know in my brain, I believe that Tony Robbins can help me get to whatever destination I want to get to. So that's where you need to live. And that's why we need to normally raise our prices. Now there is the rare exception of the guy who's like, well, I'm going to start at 80,000. You know, that's a different problem, but that's very rare.
That's rare. Yeah. And so is that how you build, circling back to the value ladder, is that how you teach your clients to build the value ladder, is the proximity and the frequency to you?
Well, the first thing that I teach my, so normally what I, if it's a brand new student, right? So let's say I'm coming in with a student who's never done a deal. They're just, they say, hey, Tom, I made a lot of money doing X, Y, and Z, and now I want to coach other people to do that, right? They're an executive coach, whatever. Typically, I'll teach them to get 3 to 7 one-on-one clients, high ticket, 15,000, 25,000, 35, 50,000. Then normally I like where all the scale and money is, which is at the top of the funnel with the people who say, I want to get started. I don't know where to get started. And that's a one-to-many place. So typically I like to move into a one-to-many coaching model that where you can build an audience. There's more scale. It's a whole different game. And then what we do is we kind of say, okay, well, you took this group of people and you taught them one-on-one. Let's see how we can format that instruction to go from one-on-one to one-to-many. And then you just have a season of hustle and grit, because no one who has come before us of any consequence, every single one of them, you know, did not take this. We're not building I'm building a lifestyle, you know, business with 1 foot on the brake and 1 foot on the gas. Every single man and woman of consequence has a season of outworking everyone around them. That's just the way it is. So if you're not like into hard work and grit and stick-to-itiveness and perseverance and all the traits, and reading is a big one, then this is not for you. You're an owner, you're an entrepreneur. Hustle is a season. It's not a lifestyle, but it is a season, and you need to go through it. And there is no way around it. I promise.
Yeah. So some of the more successful, not the beginning coaches, but the top coaches that you coach privately, what do you see that they're theme line through is, right? So when I was in real estate, I studied the top real estate people, and I was like, oh, they all do this time blocking in the morning for lead gen. That's weird. I'll pencil that in and note that. They all do, right? They all do these like five things that I listed for myself, and then I started to do them and implement them in my schedule. What do they do?
First of all, I just want to compliment you to say, like, this is the mark of true greatness, right? The fact that, Kate, that you do that, that's such a rarity. Nobody takes the time to do. I am in total and full agreement with you. This is the game-changing stuff is looking at that. I mean, that one of the things that makes me a great consulting is having great clients, because I get to look at everyone's P&L and I know what's working, what's not working, right? Like, so I love that you evaluate that, because I'm constantly trying to find those common threads that I can pull on to say, wait a second, what's here?
So they all have patterns, right? They're all doing similar things. So yeah.
100%.
So what are they?
I love it. The top coaches here, here's what's happening, right? With the top coaches, course creators, community leaders. Number one, they're all readers, right? So we'll start with the basic. If you look at my text messages with the top coaches in the country, it's about books, articles, we're highlighting passages. It's all we talk about, right? Although AI has been creeping into the conversation quite a bit. So it's all that. Number two is they prioritize revenue, right? So it's always, they start their day with revenue. What's going to generate revenue is key. They're really good at delegating. So delegating is key. What I would say is this, they all maintain, no matter how big they get, they all maintain VIP high-level relationships. The assets in their business that are most valuable to them is first and foremost their network, and then their email list, and then their marketing assets. And riddled throughout that whole spectrum, from their network to their email list to their marketing assets, is their team. Their team is not their most important asset. It is their asset. There is no networking. There is no email list, and there is no marketing assets without a team. The team is like the umbrella over all of that. So I would say that, in my opinion, the coaches who are the greatest are, they have found the level, they focus on being the best, not the biggest. That's a big one, right? Because what takes people, they avoid a lot of the things that take people out of the game. So the five things that take people out of the game are debt, divorce, health, legal, and taxes. So most of them are not doing anything. They have good impulse control where they're not doing, and reading, by the way, reading, not listening to audiobooks, but reading is an antidote to poor impulse control because it slows you down, right? But they avoid the things. It's just equal parts of what they're avoiding as much as what they're doing, but they're also doing the things that the winners are doing. One of them is, Donald Trump teaches us that the predictor of success for an entrepreneur is their ability to handle pressure. So they do things that don't increase pressure, and they avoid the things that would increase pressure. And they do the things that reduce pressure. So one of those things is they become very, very good at one thing. Whereas the people who tend to suffer the most in this business, they're kind of like a jack of all trades. And
wait, I love that. Again, like another completely underestimated value that you're giving is, I don't know how to open my CRM or like build the email templates out. And I'm not like, I'm proud of that. People are like, oh my God, you don't know how to do that? Absolutely not. Want to know what I'm really good at? Talking to people.
Right. Yeah. Well, that's the thing.
I don't
want
to know how to do it.
Right. If I bought your business today, right, I wouldn't, and you're like showing me how to operate the CRM, I am really nervous, right? Because I'm like, what is this girl doing in her business? So I totally agree. And I think having a team is key. And then having the discipline and willpower to like set up an Indeed ad. One of the things I would say as a needle mover is hire an executive assistant, a local executive assistant who has a college degree, who's already has a job. Don't interview people who don't have a job, and has bookkeeping experience. Hire a local executive. It's the minute you get to $8,000 to $10,000 per month top line revenue, do that. Speak and think in net, not gross. That is a big one. That's a big one that I learned that directly from watching the best people in the business. They speak in gross, in net, and the people who are suffering the most are always speaking in gross 100% of the time. So that's a big one. Yeah.
So what's a good, this is a higher end question, but we're going to go with it anyway. What's a good net profit percentage for the coaching industry?
Oh, it's I'll tell you why it's difficult to answer. For starters, when you start, it can be wildly profitable, right? Like you could have no expenses, right? So if you're following the spirals, right, just organic, the 10 ways to build a business organically, you essentially have almost, there's the $100 fee to upload a podcast, right? There's no money. So it could be wildly profitable. The problem with the margin is it's difficult in a season of growth. So let's just say that you're at 2.5 million and you're trying to get to like 3 to 4. In that growth, you're gonna affect margin. I guarantee it, right? It doesn't happen, right? The other thing that I would say is difficult about coaching is a beautiful business. You can scale it, you can grow it, you can sell it. It's exitable. It's awesome. But the other thing that tends to happen to coaches is a lot of people who don't really understand the coaching business, in their brain, they're saying, okay, I see this person, they're a coach. They make money by marketing and then selling, right? Getting leads and then selling their course or their services of consulting to the clients. That is a little tricky. There's two variables. The first one is that very often the people most likely to pay you right now are the people who just paid you yesterday or recently, right? In the last year or two. That's
Wait, can I interrupt you? I need a bell, Tom, to ring the interrupt, pattern interrupt. Thank you. I just looked at my past closed clients this year, year to date, to track like what's moving the mark. Like, is it cold DMs or is it my sphere? And every single time I look, it's sphere.
Yeah.
It's people that already like, know, and trust me that I might have already done business with in the past that are rehiring or whatever every time.
So that's difficult to put a margin around because obviously it's 100%, right? Those people, you send an email and they're rebuying. So it's difficult for that. But the other thing too that people don't realize is that when you're a coach or a consultant or whatever, community leader, you run a mastermind, a summit. The other thing that happens is the collaborations around things that are totally outside of coaching. So for instance, let's just say that somebody comes up to you and they say, well, I see you have a big network, right? I run a CRM. If I customize a CRM for your community and I give you 10% equity or 10% rev share of that business, well, that's called non-fulfillment revenue. And now you're on that revenue. And that's part of your EBITDA. That's part of your income. That's or to keep it simple, forget big acronyms like EBITDA. Right? So a lot of your percentage of income, sometimes people will see my clients and they'll say, wow, they're making so much money as a coach. Kind of, but they're really making a lot of money from the not. So sometimes I have a coach right now. Everybody knows it. I guarantee you, if they're listening to this, they know this coach, right? Everybody would tell me that this guy makes money selling coaching. You would be very surprised. A lot of the top coaches, yes, they're coaching, but it's the other ancillary or the affiliate launches, the referral tools. A lot of sometimes in a lot of cases, the majority of their income is 100% no expenses, no fulfillment, just from recommending ABC company or XYZ company because they have a revenue share agreement with that person or they own equity. I will say this as a side note for anybody listening. If you're going to recommend an email company or a CRM company or a data company, don't take equity and ownership because it's risky. And if they mess up on their taxes or do something silly, you could be in trouble. Instead, take revenue share agreement, do a revenue share agreement, and then introduce them to the whole industry. But a lot of times, when as a coach or a consultant, your income is coming from that, not just from how many clients you brought in this month, which is something that's a very interesting exercise because then the margin on your coaching business becomes far less important if the majority of your income is coming from that.
Tom, like, come on. Honestly. Honestly, awesome. We need 12 more sessions with you. Okay, let me just ask two quick questions about this. Affiliate revenue, love, like so underestimated as well. A lot of people don't know how to do it. What is, for the coaching industry, what are one to two really good affiliates that you see that are profitable and successful?
Oh, this is so easy. I'm going to blow your mind. Okay, ready?
Okay.
First rule is less is more. The people who make the most income from recommending tools, products, services, and people are the ones who have two or three, and they totally dominate them. They bring them into the industry. They have a phenomenal agreement, right? So let's just say it's a CRM. They'll have a CRM. They bring it in. Then all of a sudden, Tom starts using it, and Kate starts using it, and everybody starts using it. And the whole time, they don't care. They're not taking their affiliate revenue away from them. Like, oh man, I wish that Kate's clients would have went through me instead of Kate. I don't care because I'm on the back end with the owner. I'm not on the front end. I don't care. Kate could make $100,000 a month. Doesn't make a difference to me. So the first thing is less is more. Have a really good agreement. And here's the key.
Less is more in revenue percentage you're talking about.
Less is more in number of affiliates that you have. Some people, they'll be like, well, you know, I use this, you know, this mug. And if you want my calculator, use my link. And this is the best notebook. And here's the best phone and scissor and pen and pencil. No. Right. Just give it all away. You want to lock down on two or three. And here's the real secret. I know this is going to sound so elementary, but it is so basic, but it's so true. If you love it and use it to help you get the result that you sell to other people, I guarantee you, you will make more revenue. So if it's if you use SendLoop or some obscure email server or some obscure data company or CRM, I love cheap CRMs, ones that are inexpensive, but just have like the 7 or 8 fields that I need to make revenue. Recommend it. Take some equity or ownership or rev share, which is what I like, and recommend it everywhere. Bring it to all of your friends who are influential all of your peers and colleagues, and let them recommend it to their audiences, and give them, tell the company to give them big affiliates. I promise you, if it's 2 or 3 and you actually love them and use them, you will sell a ton of them, and you could do it. You can do it with intentionality, and you could really get that affiliate payment up. And once that affiliate payment is up, bam, it's amazing.
Bam, I love it. It's easy money, right? It's like passive in the background. You're using it anyway. It's just an easy plug-in to your audience.
I'll give you a little trick that'll change the game. Those change the game for you. Let's just say that you recommend a particular CRM, right? That you love and you think all of your clients are, or whatever company. Okay. What you do is on your phone, right? On your phone, go into settings and hit keyboard. And I do it with the letter Z. So I'll put, for instance, I think everybody should use Sotellus. Sotellus is like a video review app to get reviews easily, and it builds a website of your reviews, right? So I always recommend it. So right now in my phone, if I text Kate and I'm saying, Kate, you say, Tom, who should I use to collect video reviews for my services? I would immediately text you Z. It's Sotellus, so it's STU. So I put Z, STU, and it says, hey, Kate, here is my affiliate, right? Or whatever, here is my link. So short code all of your affiliates or all of the companies that you're in business with that you recommend to your audience, and put it in a short code on your phone. And every single time it comes up, you'll automatically be like, oh, and you could use short code for anything. I use it for my address, for the bells, right? Z-B-E-L-L, and 3 bells come up, right? But the short code is a key. You should use it. You'll love it. I promise you more revenue if you use short codes on your phone and just send them out constantly. Oh, this is what I wanted to say too. Don't forget, this is not just for your clients. If you have a particular, SMS service that you love and recommend and you now have ownership in or revenue share with, what you can do is you don't have to just recommend that to your clients. That's your fans, your followers, anybody who you have influence with, other coaches, other influencers. So you can recommend tools and products and services and people to everybody, not just your clients. And people lose sight of that. So if you have a big audience, you're really good at building eyeballs, but it's hard for you to monetize it, you can monetize it easily this way. That's the key.
Oh, I see.
They don't
have to buy into your offer, your high ticket offer, to benefit from your affiliates and vice versa.
No, put it in your free material. Hey, Kate, you know what? Before you get started, I'm going to send you over a whole bunch of how-tos so you can do it yourself to get your first client. By the way, here's a CRM I use. Here's this, and do, and you're going to use it. And then, so it makes your life, it's just like a breathing exercise, right? It's just like, this is easy. It's just, everything goes with the flow.
Multiple different income streams as well.
Awesome. And if you think that the multiplier, the multiple on a coaching business is good, wait till you see the multiple on non-fulfillment reoccurring monthly revenue from that, because that is going to be like 8, 9, 10, 14 multiple. Meaning if you make $100 a month, you can a buyer, or let's just say you make $1,000 a year, a buyer will pay you like 8 to 14 times that revenue. Whereas if you have to work hard to make a sale to bring in a coaching student, that is a much, much lower multiple, because that's difficult. It's more difficult to replace.
And is it higher because it's reoccurring?
It's reoccurring, and it's non-fulfillment, and it's done without you.
Tom, I have to tell you, I have 45 more questions, but I'll be respectful of your time. I genuinely have so many more questions for you because you're so knowledgeable and you give instant answers, and they're just so tangible and easy to implement. So
appreciate it.
Thank you so much for being here today.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me. It's such an honor to be even a small part of your journey and to be on your journey with you. You're an amazing person. And I really mean what I said before. It's so funny. I had a phone call this morning, and the guy in Tampa who runs the studio, I mean, literally, I can't have everywhere I go, the biggest and most influential people. This morning, it was Jethro. It's like, they're like, Kate's the best. ask her about this, ask her about that. She's amazing. Everything she says is true. You know, awesome. So thank you for having me. It's really been awesome.
That's good. That's good news. Yeah.
Yeah. It's true.
I like that.
True. Yeah.
Yeah. And yeah, we get along so well, I think, as well, because it's just relationship built, right? Like, not in it for anything but giving value to other people, and it comes back.
That's what Matt Andrews said. He said, "Oh yeah, I could see you and Kate getting along. You guys are similar energy." So, and Matt Andrews says hello. I was on the phone with, he's another one. Oh, I just got off the phone with him. I love Kate. Tell her I said hello. She's amazing. So yeah.
Oh, that's amazing.
Twice today, and I was unplanned. They brought it up, not me. So amazing.
That's amazing. Well, yeah. Tom, I'm super excited to see you at your summit that you're hosting in a few weeks.
Can't wait. I can't wait to have you. It's going to be awesome. 28th, 29th. Yes, for coaches, consultants. We are full. It's totally booked. But yeah.
Maybe the next one will have more openings.
I can't. Oh, yeah. Let's do it. Yes, October. Yeah.
Super excited. We'll link all of your socials at the bottom. And thank you so much for being here. See you on the next one.
Kate, see you on the next one. God bless. Be well. Thank you.
Bye, Tom. Thanks.